Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Righteous Talk on Love and Relationships with Relationship Coach Derek Q. Sanders. Here we address real issues with meaningful content and open, honest dialogue between men and women, speaking from a place of truth and wholeness, which often does not reflect the lies that many of our experiences have told us or shown us. Thank you, Derek Sanders. Love is more, and we have yet more to experience. Let's talk.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks for tuning in again to Righteous Talk on Love and Relationships with me, Derek Q. Sanders. Tonight we should have an interesting show. Let me make sure you can hear me good. All right, Brian, if you can hear me, text me. Let me know you can hear me. I see you on the switchboard. Text me. Let me know if you can hear me good. For all of those of you who are listening, probably most of you are on Facebook, but for those who may hear the show in the archives, my name is Derek Q. Sanders, and you can find me on, let me say this, I'm a relationship coach, author. I have a couple of books. The first is Lady's Little Black Book, 21 questions on, thanks Brian, men, love, and relationships. The most recent book is Outdated, Rethinking How Men Date Women. So, also a relationship coach, blogger. I write for Black and Married with Kids, the most popular website for Black and Black married couples. I write in the relationship section. That's blackandmarriedwithkids.com. You can find me there. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/ Derek Q. Sanders. That's D-E-R-E-K Q. Sanders. Find me on my website, www.derekqsanders. Again, that's D-E-R-E-K Q. Sanders. Daily, I write an original quote on dealing with love and relationships. So you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, any one of those places. I am consistently Derek Q. Sanders. So you just go to the website, whichever one, Twitter, Facebook. After you put in your .com, you put in your /, Derek Q. Sanders on Facebook. On Twitter, it's at Derek Q. Sanders. So you can find me any one of those places. Where else? I'm on YouTube as well. I have some videos on YouTube. So any one of those places, you can find me, Derek Q. Sanders. Tonight's show, what we're going to talk about is, and it took me a while because I spent the better part of my Monday trying to put together a show. And while I'm saying that, anybody that hears the show, if you have an idea for a show, some topic you'd like me to deal with, obviously love and relationships, and single folks. I mean, my shows are geared toward people who are dating for the purpose of marriage, not necessarily people who are already married, even though my sister listened to my show. Hi, Tina. Hi, Jennifer. If you have any show ideas, something you want me to tackle, please reach out to me. You can reach out to me on Facebook. It's probably the easiest place to catch me. Inbox me on Facebook. But tonight's show is, does the woman make the man? What role does a woman have in developing a man? Let me say that again. Does a woman make the man? What role does a woman have in developing a man? And I probably should have said, what role does she have, if any? Several years ago, I was a guest panelist on an all-male relationship panel in Chicago. Among many memorable. I'll say it that way. Among many memorable comments, I remember one of the panelists saying in response to a question that he was asked by a woman, it was, when does a man become a man, or when does a male become a man? Response was, a male becomes a man when he encounters the right woman. And that has a lot to do with the title of the show and what we'll be talking about tonight. But he told her, he said that a man becomes a man when he encounters the right woman. The problem inherent in that response is this. If the male becomes a man as a result of his relationship with the right woman, what reason does the right woman have to involve herself with a male who, by definition, hasn't become a suitable man yet? So if he becomes a man when he encounters the right woman, that means he becomes a man as a result of his interactions with her. So if she's actually looking for a suitable man, she would never date the guy because he's not suitable until after she's made him that way, which is a problem. So it's a huge problem. If a woman intends to choose a man as she should, and when I say a man, I mean a mature man, as she should, she would never consider a male that's waiting to be led into manhood, especially if he's expecting her to lead him. And that's what happens in that whole exchange. It's like the onus is placed on the woman to lead the man into manhood, which is, it's ridiculous. You know, it made me think about the fairy tales, you know, back when we were kids, where you had the damsel in distress, you know, the knight in shining armor, which would make no sense in this particular context, because the knight in shining armor would be waiting on the woman to teach, to lead him into being valiant, you know, lead him into being courageous, lead him into being heroic, which is how the tables have turned at this point. Leading a son into manhood is the role of parents, not the role of a woman. It's not the role of a woman for a man that's supposed to be pursuing her. And that's what we're dealing with tonight. Does a woman make the man? What role does a woman have in developing a man? I'm going to play a clip that a friend of mine sent me actually a week ago. She sent me this clip a week ago. Because I didn't do a show last week. That's a whole other story. I didn't do the show, but she sent me a clip about a week ago. So, but this clip is by, this guy's an author. I don't know him personally. Wasn't familiar with him prior to getting the clip. His name is D. Anthony Burris. And I want to make sure that I say this before I play the clip, because I strongly disagree with, pretty much all of his premises that's on this clip. And I was wrestling with whether or not to even play the clip, but I kind of need to play the clip in order for my commentary to make sense. So you guys hear my response to it, you actually know what I'm responding to. And plus you get a chance to hear it yourselves and see what you think about it. But he's giving advice to women on choosing a man, what man they should be choosing or considering for marriage. Again, his name is D. Anthony Burris. And as I said before, I don't know him. And I'm sure if you went to his website, you went to his Facebook page, there are some things there that will be beneficial. I just did not agree with his positioning and his premises in this clip. It's like 8 minutes, but I'm trying to be careful, make sure I say that, because I don't want to sound like I'm like trying to tear somebody apart, because I'm not, but I don't agree. And I just want to be fair in saying that. Like I said, I'm sure he meant well, and I'm sure he has a lot of good to offer on his site. But I didn't agree with this. But anyway, I'm gonna play it. I just wanted to preface it with that, in all fairness. So I'm gonna play the clip, let you all hear it, and then I will identify the things that I took issue with, and then respond to those things. All right, here it goes, and it's only 8 minutes. Bear with it.
Hey, God bless. Listen, I only have about 10 minutes to share this with you, so I will not hesitate. I'm going to share this with you right now. So I want to share with you 10 reasons. I'm sorry, not 10 reasons. One reason why, I have 10 minutes. One reason why, the primary reason why a single woman should never marry a man who has it all together. Now, I know we've been taught that you should marry someone who has it all together, right? We've been taught that you should marry someone who is established, who can take care of you, who can hold it down for you. And I get that. And that's lovely. And to a certain degree, I would agree with that. But I want to share with you, especially those of you who are single ladies, why you should never, never marry a man who has it all together. I know, you know, my objective is to give you permission to think outside of the box. My objective is to give you a new viewpoint, a new perspective in the way that you view life, leadership, and relationships. So this is going to be another one of those paradigm shifts. Now, let me say this. Some of you will agree with me. Some of you won't. But I think if you listen long enough, you'll catch it. All right. Let me give you one reason why a single woman should never, ever marry a man who has it all together. Guys, if you followed me any length of time now, you know my favorite book of the Bible is Genesis. I think there's so much rich insight. There's so much depth in Genesis, especially as it relates to relationships and marriage. And so we're going to pull from Genesis today. We're going to look at the life of Adam and Eve as we do quite frequently. If you've been following me for a while, so here's the deal: when we look at Adam, when we look at Eve, we look at Adam when he was single. We look at Adam moving and functioning in the garden. We look at Adam really moving in his purpose, moving in his destiny. We're watching Adam work the garden. We're watching him till the garden. We're watching him nurture the garden. We're watching Adam really do what God's called him to do. And the Lord said something very interesting. He said, you know what? It's not good for this guy to be alone. I'm going to make him a helpmeet. Now, here's where it gets interesting. When Eve came, everything that she ever needed was in place. So she didn't have to get anything. There was nothing extra that they needed. Everything that she needed was already established, was already in place. Adam, on the other hand, was born with a need. He was born with a need, right? He was born in need of help. He was created in need of help. When God put Adam together, He put him together in need of help. There is no way Adam would have been able to fulfill his purpose had he not had a wife. So he was created in need of help. What that tells me is this, that when a woman is positioning herself to be found, she has to position herself to be found, knowing and understanding that she has what he needs to get to his next level. So if a man is not willing to admit that he needs her to get to another level, he's not the one, because his purpose, his destiny, when he's called to be married, his purpose and destiny are on the other side of I do. There are some things that he will not be able to do until he gets his wife. So what I'm saying is, ladies, never marry a man who has it all together, because if he has it all together, you weren't needed in the first place. Are you with me? But a man who has some of it together, but understands, I need a wife who will help me fulfill my purpose, my vision, my destiny, that's the man you want to marry. So that's the man you ought to be positioning yourself for, the man who has purpose, who has destiny, but is in need of help. The thing you also have to understand is this, that you are the solution to his purpose problem. Ladies, you got to hear me. You got to understand me. Single ladies, you are the solution to his purpose problem. Adam had a purpose problem. Adam didn't have a communication problem. He communicated very well with God. He communicated very well with animals. They responded to who he was. Adam didn't even have a companion problem as much as he had a purpose problem. Adam's purpose required more help. Come on, guys. Adam's purpose required a helpmeet. That's why God said it's not good for this guy to be alone. I need to send him someone. He had companionship because he had animals, right? He would communicate with them and they would respond. So companionship wasn't a problem. He had God. He would talk to God and God would talk back. So companionship wasn't a problem. Adam's problem was his purpose was in need of someone who would pull out of him what was in him. That's his wife. Listen to me. Adam's problem was that he needed someone whose purpose was to pull out of him what he needed. We have to remember Eve was in him. Eve was in him. When God made Eve, he cut Adam open and took the rib. So Adam was walking around with his purpose. But when she showed up, his purpose was manifested in her. Right? So fellas, when you are seeking your potential mate, you don't need companionship. Come on, you can find companionship anywhere. You don't need a study buddy. You can find a study buddy anywhere. You don't need a golf partner. You can find that anywhere. But gentlemen, when Eve showed up, his purpose showed up as well. So when you are seeking a spouse, guys, it's going to be vitally important that you're not seeking just a wife, you're seeking a helpmeet. And the difference between a wife and a helpmeet is that one word, purpose. Any woman could be your wife, but not any woman can be your helpmeet. Guys, I need you to hear me. I said any woman could be your wife. You can marry anyone right now. Any woman could be your wife, but not every woman has the purpose, the power, and the potential to pull out of you what is in you and to get you to your next level of purpose. So Eve, never marry an Adam who doesn't need you. Always marry an Adam who understands, I have all this stuff, but ma'am, I can't do anything if you don't come and take me to another level. Oh, man, I hope that made sense, guys. Have an amazing day. Hey, I wrote a book. Here it is. It's called The Blueprint. You need to get your hands on this book. It's at Amazon right now. The Blueprint. It's a great book. I'm talking about all the stuff that we're talking about on these Facebook Live posts. So share this with someone who you think needs it. Again, Eve, never marry a man who has it all together, because if he has it all together, you're not needed. All right? Bottom line. Take care. Peace.
All right, there you have it, folks. I had a few, and I'm trying to be careful with my words. Y'all know I'm direct, but I'm trying to be very careful because I don't want to sound mean-spirited, because that's not my point of purpose. But I definitely had several issues with what was said, and I wrote them down. So I'll read some of them and then respond to them. And then the chat room is open, too, for anybody who wants to go in the chat room. Anybody that might be listening. It is on blogtalkradio.com, obviously. And the chat is Abundant Living, LIVIN. That's the chat room. Now, if anybody have any questions or anything, you can hit 1. I'm sure you do, Brian. I'll get to you, too. Okay. He says, single women should never marry a man that has it all together. Adam was born with a need. And the question was, what was that need? Quote, ladies, if a man has it all together, you weren't needed in the first place. There are two immediate problems I see with this premise. One, if a single woman is not to marry a man who has it all together because she is only needed by a man that does not have it all together, who is the man that has it all together to marry? Let me say that again. He said that a single ladies do not marry a man that has it all together because you're not needed. So for the guy who does have it all together, what woman would be suitable for him? Because according to the premise, there's no woman that would be good for this guy, because the woman is instructed to only marry or involve herself with a man that needs her. And she's told that a man that has it all together doesn't need her. So does that mean that a man that has it all together doesn't need a woman, doesn't need a wife? Number two is, if a man needs a woman to get him together, how is there a man that has it all together without a woman? So that takes us back to the same guy again. So if you have the guy who has it all together, how does he have it all together without a woman? Because that's what the premise is. The premise, the women are told that a man needs you. A man needs you. So that you can pull those things out of him that he needs to get him to the next level. Well, if this guy has it all together, how did he do that without a woman? So it's like the premise is in conflict with itself. Doesn't make sense. He says, any woman can be a wife. You need a helpmeet. When a woman is positioning herself to be found, she has to position herself knowing and understanding that she has what he needs to get to his next level. If a man is not willing to admit that she has what he needs to get to the next level, he's not the one. Adam was created with a need. Eve was created to help Adam get to the next level. First, consider the fact that all this was prior to the fall of man. Now, he's saying all this stuff. Adam had a purpose problem, all this stuff, not considering that Adam, and when Adam was created, it was prior to sin. The scripture doesn't say anywhere that Adam had a purpose problem. It doesn't say that he had a purpose problem. It didn't even say he was lonely. That's something I have a concern with, too. It said that he was alone because it was no other humans. The scripture never said he was lonely. How could Adam have a concept of loneliness when he had never been with a woman? He never had the company of a woman. He was in the presence of God from the day he was made. How could he have a concept of loneliness? To have a concept of loneliness means that you would have to be missing something that you once had. He'd never been with another human being. And yeah, the scripture said that Adam was looking at the animals, he was naming the animals. The scripture said that there was no one for him. He didn't say that. That was the observation that was made. Adam never said that. I don't recall reading anywhere where he said that. And it was nowhere recorded that he was lonely or that he had a purpose problem. He didn't have a purpose problem. And if you consider, yeah, he needed a woman, because how was he going to replenish the earth? He needed a woman not to help him do his work, because she wasn't told to till the land or any of that stuff. That was what Adam had to do. But he needed a partner. He needed a wife in order to multiply, to have kids. Eve was the solution to Adam's purpose problem. Adam's problem was he needed someone whose purpose was to pull out of him what he needed. Eve was in him. And my question with that was, if God pulled Eve out of him, does it make sense that Eve needed to pull out of him what was needed? Wasn't that why she was created? So God pulled her out of him, but then this man is saying that she needed to in turn turn around and pull out of Adam what Adam needed to get him to the next level. And let me say, I'm looking at the different premises, the different things that he said, and I'm challenging those. But my biggest issue, the biggest issue for me is that all of this is putting all of the onus, putting all of the emphasis, putting all of the weight, all of the responsibility on the woman. All of this stuff he's saying is it's making the woman's responsibility to make this man a better man, to make him what he should be, which is totally backwards, which is totally foreign to scripture, is totally foreign to manhood. It's not the responsibility of a woman. It's not the burden of a woman to make a man what he should be, what he should have been in the first place. The Bible said, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. It also said, for this cause shall a man leave his mother and his father and cleave unto his wife. It didn't say that about her. It put him in that position. It is his responsibility. And when you look at this from the sense that he's speaking from a biblical context, constantly Christ compared the union of the man and woman to his relationship with the church. He referred to the church as his bride. And when you look at what Christ said, he said that husbands should love their wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for. So it was a responsibility of the man to give himself for the woman, not the other way around. Because if we're saying that, then we'd also say that it's a responsibility to the church, of the church, to give itself for Christ and then pull out of Christ what he needed to get him to the next level. That's not the model. That's not it. And all of this, putting all of the emphasis, all of the onus on the woman. He says when Eve showed up, his purpose showed up. Adam's purpose showed up when she did. And he talked about the difference between a wife and a helpmeet is that one word, purpose. Any woman can be a wife. It's not true. Bible doesn't say that. And then when you look at a wife, yeah, you can marry anybody you want. But when the scripture talked about a wife, it said, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. It wasn't just talking about when you find anybody to marry. It's talking about a wife, that which makes a woman a wife, those certain characteristics. Just like if you were to look in Proverbs 31, where King Lemuel's mother was telling him how to choose a virtuous woman for a wife. And you look at Proverbs 31, it shows you all of these characteristics that make a woman a suitable wife. That's not anybody. The only time the scripture even talks about help me, it talks about that in Genesis. And it's not how it's been turned into. Let me read this to you. Question: what does it mean that a wife is supposed to be a helpmeet? Answer: the word helpmeet comes from Genesis 2:18 in the King James Version of the Bible, which says, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet." Two separate words. It is not one word. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Meet in this context is an adjective that means suitable. What the verse actually says is that God created a help for Adam, and this helper was meet or suitable, fit or proper for him. Through the years, the phrase helpmeet has morphed into a single word, helpmeet, which is sometimes used as a synonym for helpmate, meaning spouse or companion. It is interesting to note that the only part of God's creation declared to be not good concerns Adam's solitary state. That's not what I want to read. So what exactly does it mean to be a suitable helper? The key is the word suitable. A suitable wife is compatible with her husband in many respects, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. But it talked about her being fit. She was exactly what he needed. She was his equal. She wasn't lower than him. She was not above him. But the point is, he pulled out helpmeet, not understanding what those words mean, because the scripture was translated into Elizabethan English. This is Elizabethan English. We don't speak this type of way. So there's certain words that we see in scripture that we don't typically use, like carry, which means weight. That's not a word that we typically use. Help meet. We wouldn't say meet. We would have said fit. Or he made somebody that was suitable. So, but it's become this one word, help meet, which is, and then it's misunderstood. All it meant was God was going to create someone that was basically perfect for him. That was perfect for what he needed. Gave him his exact match for what he needed. But to say that anybody can be a wife, what you need is a helpmeet, and what distinguishes one from the other is purpose, is patently false. It's wrong, because that's not true. Anybody can't be a wife. The wife is laid out in Proverbs 31. That's not anybody. Talked about her characteristics. She was good with money. The scripture said that she took care of her household. She bought land. She was good with her hands, and she was smart. Just like anybody could be a husband. Of course, you could marry somebody and legally they would be your husband by law, but that doesn't mean that they're suitable in terms of what would be considered a good husband or a suitable husband or a suitable wife. So it's wrong in that area too. But again, my biggest concern with that, again, is how in our culture, the emphasis, just like I mentioned at the beginning where I talked about when I was in Chicago, where the emphasis was on the woman. A man becomes a man when he encounters the right woman. And then I deal with this a lot with the people that I talk to, with the ladies that I talk to, where they are taking a responsibility of holding men accountable or trying to push men to do what men should be doing anyway. A woman should not be in a relationship with a man that she has to cultivate and make him into a man. That's insane. And it's the cause of a whole lot of problems in relationships, because you get these sorry men that women are in relationships with, and they're trying to make these men, prop these men up and make them something, make them what they should be. They make excuses for them. The guys usually end up taking advantage of the ladies. They take advantage of the opportunity to have access to her goods and her services. And that's not manhood. That's not being a man. A man presents himself to a woman. He should be able to lead. He should be able to provide. And provision is not just financial, but he should be able to provide leadership. Men should be the ones going to battle. Not the woman. That should be the man. And this whole thing has been turned around. All right, Brian, you got something to say? Your mic is on.
Mo?
Yeah, you on.
Oh, hey.
You ain't got to say nothing if you didn't want to. I just figured you did.
Oh, I was just amused at what you were bringing out. Because I was thinking about the whole thing about, especially when he said the help meet and the wife, and I was like, where does he actually get that from? And he didn't use scripture to back up anything that he was saying except for basically that one scripture. And, you know, my favorite story, Ruth and Boaz, Boaz did have it together.
Right, exactly, he did.
And you look at Esther and the king had it together. You look at Isaac and Rebecca, Isaac had it together. Abraham and Sarah, Abraham had it together.
Right.
Like, and even when you look at God saying that his purpose for creating man was that there was no one to till the land. So how could his purpose be birthed, could come forth when Eve arrived, when God had already given him purpose in creation?
Exactly. He had already given him purpose. He had already given him dominion. So he gave him dominion, but he needed her to get him to the next level when he was created first and he named her.
Well, which one Solomon's 900 wives got him to the next level? Or did
right.
he have 900 different levels that he had to get to?
Right. But I mean, but that's the whole point for me is this whole, I mean, all of those that you named, if you look at the precedent there, it was different. And somehow in our popular culture, it's like it's been flipped where you have the women who are being made to be responsible for what should be men, but are not men. You have the woman, you know, you have the woman who has it together, but then she has to come across the man who's supposed to be pursuing her. But how do you pursue a woman when that woman has to make you what you should be?
Man.
That's the role of a parent. And it's like becoming like surrogate mothers to the men that they're dating.
And you know, Paul said that woman was made for man and man of woman. Like and there he was making reference to the man's mother. He wasn't making reference to the woman that
he was with.
That he was going to marry. That's like where it said in Job that man born of a woman is a few days in very trouble. There he wasn't talking about the wife of that man. He was talking about the mother of that man.
Right. Right. All right. I wanted to agree that. Go ahead.
That part of his purpose had to be fulfilled through Eve, and that was to replenish the earth.
Exactly. Which is funny though, because they both needed each other equally for that. she couldn't have did that without him. He couldn't have did it without her. But the way the guy positioned it, he made it seem like Eve showed up and he said it, that there was nothing that she needed. It was like she had everything she needed. It's like, well, wait a minute. She couldn't have children without him. They both needed each other to have kids. But it's like he made it seem like Eve had everything she needed, everything all together, and the man needed her. And it's like, dude, that's the problem that we're having. It's like you got these sorry men. You have men who have not been, I'm not calling the guy sorry, but you have men who are being taught, they're not being taught how to be men. You got the woman out front. You know, she out front, like as one guy said, taking it to the face, she's out front and the guy's behind her and she's, you know what I'm saying? It's like she's playing the role of a mother. It's a mother's role to raise a son into manhood. That's not the role of a woman that a man is, that a man should be, you know, that's in a relationship with. That's nowhere
in
scripture.
I mean, you look at where Solomon said, I was my father's son, tender and beloved by my mother. Like, in that scripture right there, he was letting you know who made him a man.
Right.
Like, David trained me to be one, and my mother nurtured me to get to the point that I would be my father there. It was the Shulamite woman's responsibility to make him a man, and it wasn't any other of the 899 women.
Right. All right, look, I want to play this. I'm going to play another clip. This is a clip where it's only 2 minutes, but this is where a man is actually talking about manhood and how men are supposed to be. It's a couple minutes. I'll let you. We talk. I'll get your thoughts afterward. Hold on a second.
One of the reasons I love talking to men is because when you have just men in the room, you don't need to do anything but cut to the chase, all right? I don't have a lot of time to listen. You know, Joe Screwdriver's sitting there, and he's like, don't make it complicated, just make it clear. And I was reading through 1 Corinthians, and I saw in chapter 16, verse 13, where he says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. And I think that act like men means, well, how do you act like a man? Well, be watchful. Pay attention, yo. Look what's going on in your family. Look, where are your kids tonight? What's happening? You know, be on the job, front center. That's what it means to act like a man. Be watchful. And then I love this idea of stand firm in the faith. You know, something's been entrusted to us, the Word of God. Paul said to Timothy, guard the treasure that's been entrusted to you. And I want to entrust to my children and to my grandchildren the Word of God, undiluted, uncompromised. We don't need to cut off any corners. It doesn't need any updating. It's as strong and applicable as it's ever been. That's what stand firm in the faith means to me. And then just be strong. I believe that men desperately need other men. That's the shoulder we cry on. I don't unburden my heart to women. I'm to be strong. And if I feel the weight of something is too much for me, I get my brothers around me. And we bear, God's called us to protect and to cover and to support women, not to burden them. And that's not that I don't have a disclosing relationship with my wife, you understand. But being strong means bearing the weight of leading my family. And so be watchful, be strong, be firm in the faith, act like men. But it's really interesting because as I was preaching that, I saw the men, you know, oh yeah, be strong. But it's awesome because the next verse says, let all that you do be done in love. And we don't need some worldly, distorted, macho man. We need to be just as tender-hearted as we are strong. And I had to learn in some instances the hard way with my own kids that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And that a tender-hearted, loving appeal to our children in the context of a strong and growing relationship with them takes us a lot further than a distorted, macho version would. So can I put it all together? It's be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. That's where the power is.
And there you have it. That is a good representation of manhood. It's not, you know, men beating their chest with a bunch of testosterone, not knowing how to treat women. It's not that. That's not the image. It's not the image, you know, of the macho man, the insecure man. That's what I was going to talk about, insecurity. Because you get the insecurities where you have the men who are really insecure, and they put on this face of machismo and all that stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about men that are able to take responsibility to provide women with the security that women need. And that's not just talking about money. It's about a man who takes care of business, who makes sure that things are taken care of, where a woman can do the things that she needs to do and not have to do what she needs to do while she's trying to raise his behind. That's what men are supposed to do. We're supposed to complement we're supposed to complement each other. But it's turned into this thing where women don't have no security because they have to provide that for men. That's insane. That's insane. A woman should be secure. She should be able to trust that her man is going to have things together and that he's going to make sure that everything is the way it should be. She's going to be able to play her part, but she does not have to pull out of him what he needs to get him to the next level. That's not her responsibility. That's the responsibility of his brothers. That's the responsibility of other men. And I was going to talk about that. I'm getting ahead of myself. I was going to talk about how a woman even identifies that. And I'll get to that in a minute. But that's manhood, where a man is able to be strong, be courageous, and still be loving to his wife, the woman that he loves, and loving to his children and gentle to them. But we're supposed to be leaders. We're not supposed to show up looking for the woman that can get us to the next level or make a man out of us. That's insane. A woman should only have to do that with her son, and she shouldn't have to do that by herself. She should be doing her role with her son, and the man should be doing his, but she don't have a role in making a man or a male a man other than her son. Woman should have to be dealing with that. And single ladies, if you're dealing with that nonsense, you don't need to be involved with this guy. You don't. You don't need to be involved with that. And what I was going to leave you with is how a woman identifies this type of man. Good men are found in a community of other good men. When you have a good man, that's how you identify him. He should have other good men around him. They are accountable to other good men. Good men become better in the company of other good men. A man should have other men that he consults with, men that can take him to the woodshed when he needs it. I got brothers around me that call me to the carpet. Carlos Johnson do it all the time. Get on my nerves sometimes. My other buddies, my younger buddies, Carbanche, same thing. You know, I call them, I talk to them about things that I'm dealing with, things that I might be struggling with in my relationship. They ain't always taking my side. It's like, dude, you wrong. Or what about this? Good men are in the community of other good men. You have that iron sharpening iron. And when a woman is encountering a man, that man should have other good men in his life, other good men that can impart knowledge to him, and vice versa. That's one. So you identify a man, look at his circle. It should be other good men around him, good quality men that have good characteristics, that take care of business. That's not to say that he ain't going to have some guys that may not, but he should be in a community of other good men. Number two, avoid men that expect you to mother them. It's one thing to support a man. It's another to treat him like a mother would her son. And let me be clear on what support looks like. I don't mean financial support. A man should have a job that supports him. By support, I mean showing interest in his work. That's important to men. Generally speaking, men define themselves by their work. It matters more to a man that his woman admires his work than most women may seem to understand. Men, like a woman feels secure or whatever, she wants a man to admire a lot of times how she looks. Men want a woman to admire their work, the things that they're passionate about. Those are the things that we run to you and say, hey, look, this is what I'm doing. Or we're trying, you know, things like that, you know, because we're, you know, our work, it defines us. It defines us. So avoid those jokers that want you to mother them. They're not ready. They're not ready. And they may never, they maybe they will be, maybe they won't. But avoid men that are looking for you to be their mother. That's the job of a mother. Number three, this is my last one. Mature men don't leave a woman emotionally vulnerable. A man should be clear in what he wants from you. When a man presents himself to a woman, he should clearly state what his intentions are. A woman should not have to ask someone else to define what her relationship is with a man based upon the clues and scenarios that she shares. And I get that. I'll get the inboxes and a woman will say, well, what do you think this means? And she's giving me information. She's telling me what's going on in her relationship. And she wants me to help her define what the basis of her relationship with a man that she's involved with. A good man don't do that. He doesn't put a woman, when he presents himself to a woman, he's clear. He lets her know what his interest is. He lets her know who he is. A woman should not be left emotionally vulnerable where she's involved with a guy. She likes a guy, but she don't even know the nature of her relationship with this guy. And I've seen it, women sleeping with a guy and she don't even know if he considers her to be his woman or not. That's not how men, that's not how good men operate. That's not how mature men operate. So those are things that you should avoid. One, good men are found in a community of other good men. So he should have other good men around him. He should have other men that he's accountable to. Those men are the ones that, you know, help him become a better man. And I'm not saying that a man will become better with a woman in his life, but that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is not to push him to make him better. He should become better because you're in his life, because he has to make certain adjustments because of what you need from him. It's not your, you can support him and encourage him and things like that, but you should not have to be pushing him and trying to pull his potential out and all that nonsense. So that's number one, community. Again, number two is avoid men that want you to mother him. And the last one, mature men don't leave women emotionally vulnerable. A good man will present himself. Look, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. And he's presenting a case for you so you can look and say, okay, this is somebody who's worth me giving my time to. That's how a man should present himself. That's how a man should present himself. And what role does a woman, getting to the original, to the title, does a woman make the man? No. No. And what role does a woman have in the development of a man? She doesn't. I mean, you support him, but it's not your burden to develop a man. That man should be developed when he shows up. Will he get better? Will he improve? Of course. But a man should be driven. He should be self-driven. A woman, you should not have to be pushing him out the bed to go to work. A woman should not have to be pushing her husband out the bed to go to work. She should not have to be pushing her husband to do what a man should do. And when you're dating a man, you should not have to be pushing a man to do what a man should do. I'm not talking about encouragement. There's nothing wrong with encouragement. You should take an interest in what he likes, the things that he's involved with. Men need that. Men appreciate that because a man wants to know that his woman admires him. But that's totally different than a woman trying to looking at a man saying he has potential. That's like looking at wood and saying that this could be a mansion. Yeah, it could be. It could be a mansion or it could be an outhouse. It could be a bunch of things. You could take that wood and you can make a whole bunch of stuff with it. But you should not have to be looking at a man and trying to say what he could be. He should be that when he show up because he should be pursuing you. And what a woman should do, all a woman should have to be doing is listening. You should not be in a vulnerable place. You should, when a man presents himself, all you should have to be doing is listening. Listening to what he's saying, paying attention to what he's saying, and, you know, listening, examining what he's saying. And that's it. That's pretty much it. You shouldn't have to be building this guy. As somebody hashtagged on one of my posts, build a boo. You shouldn't have to be doing that. That's not, your role should be to listen. Listen to what he's saying and see if his actions and his words line up. That should be your job when you meet a guy. He show up, you listen to what he's saying, listen to his spiel, and then look at what he's doing. And those things should be, they should be in sync. His words and his actions should be on one accord. And that should be your role. That should be it. You shouldn't have to build him and reach in him and pull his potential out. That's nonsense. That's not how this goes. All right? So you got anything else, Brian? We got 3 minutes left.
Nah, dude, I'm cool.
I got to play my commercial, but that's okay. anybody that may hear the show in the archives, my website, www.derekqsanders.com. Check out my products page. It has my books there. Check out my blog page. It has my blogs. You can reach me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of those various places. Send me a friend request. Send me your ideas for shows. And we will do this again next week. And Jennifer gets to go watch her show, so I don't run into your time. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening in. And everybody have a great night.